MFX. So I wanted to have a look at this image of Richard Dawkins and Jeffrey Epstein. It's come out with all of the leaks and all of the lurid details and horrors and corruption and all of the package that's all over the internet at the moment. And this image has been one of the ones which hasn't really not many people seem bothered about, but it caught my eye because I've read a lot of Richard Dawkins' books, and when I remember back in the day, going back about 15 or 20 years or so, he would always be on Sunday morning television. And when I saw this photograph, I was looking at it and I was thinking, just look how uncomfortable he looks. Look, he just wants to try and squirm away. He just doesn't want to be there whatsoever. And then you've got Jeffrey Epstein, of course, as the reason why. Now, they're at some kind of swanky dinner, sort of elite tier, you know, dinner party and gathering. And it seems to me that within this image, there's quite a lot. There's quite a lot buried in there, especially when we consider like what's been revealed about the level of racial supremacy and contempt. This is going to be on YouTube, so I'm going to have to be careful because of the fact they're so powerful, everybody gets censored and you get in trouble when you talk about it. But basically, Jeffrey Epstein is a racial supremacist for his own ethnic group, which goes over into the religious and the esoteric and all of that. It's all wrapped up with his identity. And I find the reason that this image jumped out at me was because of Richard Dawkins' presence there. And he is the antithesis of all of this. And if you go back and you dig in and you look closely at Richard Dawkins' worldview, what it is that he believes, what it is that he argues for, it's kind of paradoxical because on the one hand, he's written book after book about evolution. And I will say that some of these books, like The Ancestor's Tale, are a great read. Like The Ancestor's Tale is a huge book. And if you want to learn a lot about the natural world, it's a great place to start. Because, I mean, I remember there being page after page after page about like the evolution of the squid eye. Or why, for example, antelope or deer don't have antlers that are 4 meters long, and the evolutionary payoff, or how creatures developed poison, and all of this kind of thing. Which, when you're talking about evolution and its reptiles or insects, people don't have too much of a problem with it. It's when you apply that same theory to humans that all of the controversy begins, and always has been the case. But in terms of like learning about the natural world, something like The Ancestor's Tale is very good. But Dawkins has a lot of other books as well, where he is obviously the later ones. You could see that he was moving towards that way. So after the Ancestor's Tale, and he began to have more and more of a problem with religion, metaphysics, and superstitions, and he would kind of view it all as being the same thing. He would view it all as superstitious, religious, sky fairy mumbo jumbo, and what he was sort of putting forward of his own worldview was a sort of classic liberal empiricism. Except if you look at the classic liberals of the 19th century, there was more than a hint of racialism in there as well. But it kind of went along the lines of white supremacy, because they too had looked at the same things as Richard Dawkins, albeit earlier, and they'd come to some very different conclusions when you applied something like elite evolution to the human populations. They'd drawn their own conclusions to that. But Richard Dawkins comes from the boomer generation, and his liberalism, so he's got this problem because on the one hand, he's got this empirical, religion is rubbish, your identity should be something that you kind of create yourself, though, I've got to be careful here because he would say, for example, he invented the word meme, and he would say that you imbibe these memes that are floating around in the culture, and they'll attach themselves to your psychology, and then you'll pass them on. But really, what Dawkins would be against is identitarianism. So he would be against racial thinking. He would view people, and the reason for that is because people are rational individuals. You will use your reason to see another person of a different group, and you reason to yourself that at the end of the day, all of these differences are just purely superficial. Again, when you bring in the evolutionary theory, it's a little bit out there. It's a little bit sort of dubious. But in theory, the world is a one in which everybody is just this individual, with nothing beyond themselves. And this is why eventually, like, Dawkins would become used for Brexit. He doesn't like, say, the far right. He doesn't like these ideas. So he wants to have his cake and eat it. On the one hand, he's going to attack religion as this mumbo jumbo rubbish, without really any basis in fact or any utility, and that people can find the beauty and transcendence in nature and all of this kind of thing. And on the other hand, we are all just these rationalistic individuals, and we don't really have any attachment to other beyond our individual selves, certainly not to a racial group. And so this is where, when you think, look how uncomfortable he is around Jeffrey Epstein, it's kind of funny because Jeffrey Epstein is the antithesis of all of that. He is the outright refutation. And in fact, though he treads carefully, if you looked in, say, something like the God Delusion, Dawkins would view Jeffrey Epstein as some kind of Bronze Age kind of desert cultist who has no place in the modern world. Thinking as he does, he has a place in the modern world as a rational individual, but his identity and everything that he represents is just something completely poisonous and toxic. And I don't mean that in the sense of the crimes that he's committed, what he was involved with. But the problem here is that he does exist. And so Dawkins' kind of worldview became the received wisdom of all of the West, I would say, especially after World War II. But you could say that this kind of classic liberalism, where you only see individuals, was more deeply rooted than that as well. But the problem that he's confronted with, and I mean it quite literally here, is that he's being confronted with, at the elite level, a network which is driven purely on all of these ideas and these understandings of the world, which Dawkins finds barbaric, superstitious, ignorant, out of date, and just generally evil and horrible. But there's nothing you can do about it. And I find, like, what is his sort of response to this? If what is the response of Dawkins's sort of liberalism to what Jeffrey Epstein represents? And it isn't actually just about Epstein's group. It's when Dawkins used to go on Sunday morning television, he would argue against Muslims. They'd drag in some Muslim from like some mosque or somewhere, and he would come out with all of these sort of views and opinions which seemed rooted in, like, 1,000 years ago, the mystical, religious, esoteric, and Dawkins would scoff at it. And I remember there was one episode that I saw, and the Muslim was saying, "Well, you need to cover up your women." And Dawkins, trying to own him, trying to sort of refute his whole sort of view of the world, said, "They aren't our women." In other words, the because the Muslim meant white women. And Dawkins, who was a white man, was just saying proudly and loudly that they're not his. He doesn't. They're not his in terms of ownership or any kind of deeper connection. And he thought that was like a strong position to take. Whereas if you have a different view of the world, if you have a view of the world of tribal affiliation, which is rooted in religion and in blood, as both the Muslim and Epstein does, then what you're doing there is just completely surrendering. And you've got no, as a point of like sort of the foundation of your worldview and identity is that you've capitulated totally and utterly. And what's more is that there's no coming back from that within the frame of reference of your worldview. There's nothing there. You don't have anything in the toolbox to pull out and hold them to account or assert your own values because, as in the case with, well, they're not our women, you've already sort of negated the very idea of ownership over a group. And so you see in this picture here, I get the impression that Dawkins has kind of understood this. Now, of course, this is just a snapshot. It's just a glimpse of, you can see quite clear that Epstein seems the more dominant. Dawkins is turning away. And I like to think, like, what, even if just symbolically, what this represents is Dawkins kind of going beyond the charted territory of his intellectual framework for understanding the world. He understands these things. He understands it in the abstract. He understands it when he reads a text from the Old Testament and he says it's ignorant and it's stupid, and that the God of the Old Testament is this tyrant. And, you know, we've been through the Enlightenment and all of this stuff should have been shelved, yet it persists constantly in the modern world. And that's something to lament. This, in a kind of abstract and scholarly fashion, is there, of course. He understands it all. But in the case of Jeffrey Epstein, he's actually staring at it, and it's an elite network. In other words, Dawkins' worldview doesn't dominate. Dawkins' worldview is mainly a scam. And at the highest echelons of society, it's the tribalism which dominates. So the cruel irony of all of this is that Dawkins would like to, and people like him, his class, they would like to present themselves as these sophisticated people with all of this knowledge, and all of these facts and all of these data, and they would argue against the religious, as being kind of naive rubes. And it was as if they were filling in the dots, you know. They were explaining, for example, the world is not flat as it says in your Bronze Age silly superstitious books from the desert, or whatever your belief happened to be. I mean, he hates it all. He hates paganism. He hates everything about religion and everything that's irrational. And so he's framing as kind of like, here is the reality of things. You know, this is the, you are the one with the delusions. And we, meaning these sort of empirical, new atheist, rational, enlightened men, we will fill you in on the details here. We will be the one to enlighten you. We will fill in the edges of the map because you don't understand it. And yet, in that, the cruel reality here is, out on the outskirts of the map, there are dragons there, which he didn't expect. And it's as if he's come here to the end of his rope. He's come to the end of his tether, where embodied in Jeffrey Epstein is like a living, breathing refutation of his whole worldview. If you want to see the, like, he would argue with these kind of Protestant pastors from the American South or something. Well, how about Jeffrey Epstein? How about like people who are connected to the most powerful people on the world, the movers and shakers, being the dragons at the edge of the map that you didn't expect to be sitting there once you arrived, Richard. And it's a kind of tragedy in this image here, this little image. It's a little bit of Dawkins, and you just look at him like a defeated man. He doesn't want to know because he's looked into the eyes of something which should not be, but is. And it's all resounding irony of Dawkins' worldview. Just some thoughts on that, folks. So, catch you later.